Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to the Designer Soul podcast. Starting this podcast, honestly, I would say, I don't think I had it in mind to do as many episodes. I just had one thing to say when I started. I think that was a conversation. That was the first conversation I had with Pata. And I've been able to record about, I think, 5 episodes already. And I already have ideas of like the next 5. It's been a great journey, honestly. It's been a great journey. I think I have a target of like 12 episodes to record for the year. I see. I hope I meet up with that target. I like to start by saying, if you have the passion to create quality content as well, and you like to be a part of, the small community that's still growing, that's the designers of community, please endeavor to send me a message on Twitter at JJFollowNSHOW, JEJEFOLO. RUNSO. So yeah, today we continue with our Design Founders series. And you know what? We're doing things a bit different, or very different, because originally you think that we'll have a designer in our midst, but I'm here to bust the bubble. We actually have a software engineer, and his name is Debo. Apart from the fact that I do him as a developer, right? I've actually known him to be a community-driven person. That's actually what brought both of us together. The major problem with our school, yes, or the community. It's actually a group-driven community, I would say. And that's how I've known Debo. Debo has been a community, I don't want to say developer person, from the days of DSN, Developer Student Club. That's a little about my coding journey. But yeah, hi Debo, good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi Jeremiah. Hi everyone listening. Good evening. I'm doing really okay. It's been a good day for me. So how about you? How are you doing?
I'm fine as well. I spent like a part of my day sleeping.
I've spent my entire day working out. So it's been a very busy day, but nonetheless, it's not as busy as a lot of other days that I have. So I guess it's a good day, and I'm not feeling stressed out yet. Usually by this time of the day, I'm often feeling stressed already. So I guess that's a good thing.
I can imagine. Me, I know that I'm going to pay for it. It's my night. I do more of the overnight duty travel. I just not sleep till like maybe 4 a.m. or something. But yeah, thank you for being here. Honestly, it's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure being here.
Thank you. So we're here to talk about your journey of co-founding Fidia. Fidia is the name of, I've always wanted to ask, is it Fidia or Get Fidia? Because I know I see the social, I see Get Fidia, I see the website, I see Fidia. So yeah, is it Fidia or Get Fidia?
Okay, so Get Fidia is actually the URL.
Okay.
But it's actually Fidia. Name of the company is Fidia Creatives. So it's actually Fidia. Get Fidia is just like the URL we use, our domain name. It's just like we have like other companies that like Get Equity, use Acro, something like that. So it's just a domain name. Vidia is actually like the brand name.
Okay, that works. What's Vidia about? What do you guys do? What's the product about in particular?
Okay, so we are an all-in-one monetization platform for creators in Africa. We currently have like presence in Nigeria. We're looking at expanding to other African countries. But our goal is simple. Is really just to help creators or creative individuals or creative businesses showcase, grow, and monetize their creative works. So what we do is we provide like a suite of tools that allow creators to manage their creative businesses. So if you want something we call the creator profile, which is like a one-page link in bio websites for yourself, you could use our platform to create that easily. You can put it up on your Instagram or your Twitter, any of your socials, and people could go through like that simple website to see and learn more about you, depending on what kind of information you want to put on it. So it's really flexible and easy to work with. We also have something called like the payment links, which allows creators get monetary support from people who love and appreciate their creative works. So you could create like a payment link on Vidya and then share it with your audience, and they could choose to support you from creating value. So we also have like a lot of other interesting features. We allow creators to sell digital products on our platform. We know creators have like this entrepreneurial spirit. So if you're, let's say, you're a creator that renders services to clients, probably, let's say you're a YouTuber and you want to go into a partnership with a brand, allow you to stuff like creating voices on our platform that looks professional and has like your branding on it. And you can share with like these brands that you want to render services to, and that like, you can pay using these digital invoices. So our goal really is just to help creators manage their creative businesses and make it easy for them to not just showcase their works, but also grow and monetize it.
One thing stands out for me, you can create like a landing page without having any no-code experience at all.
Yes, you can create like a landing page for yourself without knowing how to write code. You don't need to be technical. All you just have to do is to click buttons and stuff. And we have like a lot of interesting features. You could put up stuff like your tweets. You could link it to your YouTube and put up links. If you're like a podcaster, you could import your RSS feed and it's going to like pull all of your podcasts, and people can listen to your podcast on that same website. Or pull in like a playlist if you're a musician, or if you're someone who writes, you could link it to your MailChimp and people could subscribe to your mailing list directly. We also have like our products deeply integrated with each other. So if you have like a payment link, you could have that show up on your one-page website, or if you have like a digital product you're selling, that can also show up on your one-page website. So it's just really wanting people to be able to put their best foot forward and showcase like their most prominent works in the simplest and easiest way possible without them having to go through any technical learning phase or anything of that sort.
That's immense. That's solid, man. Thank you. I'm really thank you. But yeah, how did the name come about? I tried to check for what Fidya means on Google, but I didn't arrive at anything concrete. How did the name come about?
Okay, so when we started off, like I think that was in 2019 or 2020. I can't remember when. I think that was in 2020. It started off as we wanting to build something that allows people to be able to receive monetary support from like their fans and audience. Because there are like different monetization platforms out there today. There's Patreon, there's Buy Me a Coffee. But they are all built on top of infrastructures like Stripe and PayPal. And Stripe didn't work like in anywhere. Stripe doesn't work in any African country. Nigerians can't receive money with PayPal. We can only send money. I think only about 3 African countries can actually receive money with PayPal. So it was more like we as creators wanting to find a way to get monetary support from people who are like our audience as of that time. And we just couldn't find a way to do it. And we wanted to like build a solution to solve this problem. So when we were trying to like pick a name, the prominent thing was we wanted creators to get compensated for the value they create. And what Vidya just means is Vidya means compensation, which goes in line with what we're trying to do. We want creators to be compensated for the value they create. So Vidya in Swahili means compensation. Vidya in Arabic also means compensation. But in Arabic, it's mostly used when, let's say, the compensation you pay when you miss a fast or something. Or in Swahili, it means just compensation. So Vidya literally means compensation, and it just stands for we creating a ways for creating like different ways for people who are creators to get compensated for the value they create.
Yeah. Thank you. I think you've talked about on this a bit about how the journey about how it all started, or maybe you could enlighten us more. How did it all start for you guys?
Okay, so how the whole thing started was just me trying to like solve our problem. I remember then when like one of the guys like hit me up and shared like the whole thing to me and asked if I was interested. So at first I didn't really get it myself because although it was a problem I was experiencing, but I didn't know if there were other people would be experiencing that same problem or would find value in it. But then I realized that I was at that phase as well, because I'm a technical writer as well, I write. And I was at this point where I had like, I started writing for Digital Ocean, I think I published 2 articles or so. And I was working as a technical writer as well for a company called GeekFlare. And my content were beginning to have like, I think that of Digital Ocean then had been read, I think about 30,000 or 40,000 times. And probably it's a lot more now. So I figured that a lot of people were reading some of the content I wrote. And I just wanted a way to probably put up something like a Buy Me a Coffee link on it, where people could actually support the writer for the value created. And exploring like all the options that were existing then, none of them just worked. And the other co-founders were also at like this phase in their career where they're also creators and they needed like a way for them to like get monetary support from like the stuff they create, and none of that stuff actually just existed. Not like it didn't exist, but it wasn't built for the African market. So an average African cannot like make use of it and the value for them. So we just wanted to like solve our own problems, and we decided to like build something that was just like a prototype and push it out. Then we had like a wait list. When we wrote the initial version out, the reception was interesting, and we figured that a lot of people were actually interested in what we're building. And we just kept building and building and building and making improvements to it. So we started to register to become a company, and it just sort of evolved from there, really.
Mm. Okay, when was that though? When did it go official?
Yeah, I think we started building in 2020, and we rolled out the first version. Was it in 2021? Yeah, I think early 2021 was when the first version came out. But we've been like working on it since like 2020 during the pandemic. And after like the first version came out in 2021, we just kept on improving it like since then to now.
Okay. All right. How has the journey been so far? And how many are you guys? I wanted to ask. How many are you guys? Like, what's the team like? What's the team structure like?
Well, there are 3 co-founders, but we've been able to like employ other people. So currently, I think we're about 10 on the team currently, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're about plus or minus 1 or 2.
How's the journey been so far? Tiring, hectic, obviously, expectedly.
Building anything is not an easy journey, because there is always so much to learn. There's a lot of unlearning you have to do, and there's a lot of learning that you also have to do as well. So I'd say it's been pretty much learning intense, but also growth intense as well. I mean, something that started as something that we're working on as a side project, where we're just literally 3 of us. I think we're just literally 3 of us trying to like get things off the book. And you know, when you're trying to like build something that is like people are actually getting to use, we have to pay for infrastructure, you have to pay server cost and all of those things. We're literally like spending our money every month, putting money together to actually like stay afloat and make sure that we keep making the service available to people, up to the point where we're eventually able to like raise some money in an accelerator round. That's earlier this year, when we're now able to like actually employ more people to join us and work on the company. like work on EDGL with us. So I'd say it's been an interesting journey so far. It's not been the easiest one because obviously building is very hard. And there's just a lot of things that you think you have figured out that eventually you realize that you were absolutely clueless and you still had like just so much to learn. So I think it's a constant phase of learning that is never going to like stop. You just keep learning and improving and doing things much better than you did before. So yeah, so it's been an interesting journey.
Solid. What has been some of the challenges? Can you share some of the challenges you guys have faced so far? I mean, working as a team and working on the product.
Well, I'll say some of the challenges we faced so far. I'll say initially, one of the major challenges that we faced was money, because I remember then where we were just literally like just the only one working on it initially. And then when we're still like a very small team, I think we had to like put some of our months together with three. I think we had to like contribute to the 50,000 every month and stuff. And everyone had like their full-time jobs and everything. And it was always difficult, like trying to like work on the entire project and still having to like put money together, not being able to hire anyone, not being able to delegate stuff to people. I mean, you're literally this only, it's literally just three of you doing so many things together. But when we actually like got to raise funds, I think that eased out a little when we started to hire people who are much more better and qualified than us to actually build stuff with us. Then I would say actually scaling and marketing, because it's one thing to build a product. It's another thing to build a product that people love. It's another thing to get people to like the product. Aside getting them to like the product, another thing to getting them to use the product. I mean, user retention is something that is very important. So it's not just you marketing to a set of users, it's you being able to retain those users and you converting them to paying customers. So having to like learn all of this stuff and going through all of these phases would say was something that, I mean, we are still at this phase, but it's something that we find like really challenging. Because we are building in a niche. We're building in a niche market. I mean, not a lot of people, there are tons of creators out there today, but not a lot of people build for the creator economy in Nigeria. A lot of people build for fintech. A lot of people build for e-commerce. A lot of people build for fashion. But you don't find people building for the creator economy every day, even though you find at least five new creators every day. If you really search deep, you'd always see someone creating a YouTube channel, always see someone influencing on Instagram, you always see someone starting a podcast. I mean, a lot of people are really diving and bringing out the creativity in them, putting it out there and creating amazing content for us to consume every day. But we don't have like so much people building in this space. So it's not like you want to go into fintech now and there's already a playbook for you to follow, because a lot of people have done it and they failed, and a lot of people have done it and they've succeeded. And you can know what's failed and what's passed. So I'd say we are like the guinea pigs for people who are going to be building in this space in the future. So yeah, I think that's like something that is very difficult. That made it very difficult because we are not like learning from the failures or success of other people who have done it in this space, especially in Africa, where the creator economy is not exactly the way it is in other parts of the world. So I'd say that something has been very challenging. We just being like the guinea pigs of the ecosystem and just trying out different stuff and seeing what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, that works. Being a co-founder, right? This is more direct on your role. What has been some of the challenges you faced? I mean, basically, that will relate to your relationships with other co-founders and other employees. What's been some of the challenges you faced?
Do you mean like internally at the company? In terms of how I relate with other employees and
Well, in that direction, yes, but more about what are some of the challenges you faced as a co-founder, not as a product now, but more as a co-founder.
Mama as a co-founder, I think mostly, I think one important thing is to learn to work as a team. And I do not think we have like the issue of teamwork. So I wouldn't say I'm like facing any issue working with my other co-founders, for example. I'll just say it can be very stressful at times because then we are like the idea is still like very, 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 very small. So you still find that there are a lot of things that could be delegated to other people to work on, but based on like the company size, you can't just delegate those things to other people. I mean, you have to like wear multiple hats depending on which hat is needed to be worn at that point in time, and just stick up multiple roles and try to like do as many things as you can. I'd say that's one thing that I find very challenging. Because I mean, as the company grows in size, as you're able to like raise more money or make more profit, we'd definitely employ more people and dedicate things to them. But considering the fact that we are still at like infant stage, I mean, you at some point you'll be the marketer, you'll be a writer, you'll be a product manager, you'll be a product marketer, you'll be a software engineer, you'll be an editor, you'll be a content creator, literally doing all of those things by yourself. Because of the team size and how small the company can be really stressful. So yeah.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten that I muted myself. You mentioned that Fidia is really small, but obviously you guys have big wins. As a company, what's been some of your wins as a company of Fidia coming forward? I think it'd be about 2 years now or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of like the biggest wins we had this year was actually being able to raise money. And joining like an accelerator program. We joined an accelerator program called ODX, called the Undeclared Accelerator Program. And they funded with about 125K USD. Also provided like mentorship, training programs, and other stuff like that. And I think that was like one of like things that helped shift our direction. Because now we're a lot more informed than we used to be. And we had like a lot more money to try out new stuff that we couldn't just try out before. So I'd say that's something that's like a major win for us.
Yeah, money is a major win, honestly, in every field. Mm-hmm. Key principles that has helped you guys or that has helped you so far, what are they?
I think it is always listening. Because it's not just about building what you think is right, it's about building what the people who are going to use your product think is right. So one thing that we've always tried to do is listen to the people who use our product and just get as much feedback as possible. Because especially at this like trivial stage where you're trying to like find product market fit and stuff. So you just have to like, we just try as much as possible to get as much feedback as we can. We try as much as possible to ensure that when we get this feedback, we're able to evaluate these feedbacks and iterate upon our products based on these feedbacks as soon as we can. So I think that's one thing that has helped like shape the product from what it was when we initially built it to everything like that we built into the product still now. So yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I think we are one part of the conversation. We are like the hiring and firing business. So I'm always curious as to how it has been for people or for co-founders basically. Because I mean, I know that to hire somebody is a lot of work. Like the hiring process is a lot of work, different conversations that you probably have to have. And also the firing business as a co-founder of a startup, like you literally or you probably have to let you talk to the person face to face and tell him, oh, okay, yeah, sorry, your services are no more needed. That confidence is immense for me. I don't know how I'll be able to muster the energy to do that. But yeah, your experience so far, the hiring and firing business, how has it been? And also, how do you retain talent? I think that's second question too.
Yeah, I think hiring and firing, I think we've had to hire a couple of people. So we've also had to like let some people go, while there are other people who had to like move on to other things in their life. But really, in terms of hiring, it's always like very stressful and time consuming because you want to make sure you get it right. And you also want to make sure that you bring on someone who's going to like provide real value to the company. Someone who also like believes in the vision of the company, because it just makes sense for you to hire someone who believes in the product you're building. It means they can be able to see things through your lenses and not just someone who wants to make money. So I think hiring can be like, I mean, we've tried different things. We've tried putting out applications and reviewing. We've tried taking recommendations from colleagues. We've tried like referrals and different stuff for hiring. But I wouldn't say I have like a playbook for what works and what doesn't work. But I'd say we've been really lucky to, with the kind of like employees that have come our way so far, because we've been privileged to have had like a good set of people work for us so far. Although we also had like people work for us and probably their performance were not exactly what we're expecting, and we had to like let them go. Or people who eventually were doing great work, but eventually had to like move on to other stuff. But yeah, so we've been really lucky in that regards as well. And in terms of like letting people go, we just try to not attach emotions to work. Because then when you're getting used to working with someone, it can be very easy to be sentimental and to not just do what's best for the company when you know that they are not exactly providing the sort of value they ought to be providing in that role. But yeah, I'd say we've pretty much been lucky to have had like a good set of people work for us. And in terms of like retaining talent, to be honest, I'd say one really good way to actually retain people is to treat them right. I mean, you shouldn't make people feel uncomfortable about working at your company. You shouldn't pay people less than they are worth. You should be able to like compensate people who work for you appropriately and make sure they're getting value for the work they are doing. And you should create like a safe space where everyone is free to express themselves. I mean, pretty much everything we do internally at VGI is open to like every employee. There's no, if you want any information and you request for it, there's always a place where you can read up about anything you want to read up about, anything you want to find out. So we're pretty much open company. We are still a very small team, so it's very easy for us to carry everyone along in everything we do.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think one good way to like retain people is to treat them right. Make sure they have like voice, make it known that their voices can be heard. Create a very good and conducive environment for them. I mean, we know that we're a fully remote company and we do not put like a lot of burden and stress on people trying to, in terms of what outcomes from like the different things they do should be. We just, because it is like a remote work, we expect you to like be productive at your work, but at the same time, we expect you to be productive at your work, but at the same time, be able to like have flexible work hours, take breaks when it's necessary. When you need to focus on yourself or have some alone time, that's fine as well. So we just knowing and understanding that we are working with humans and humans cannot give out 100% at all times. And giving out 20% on some days and 70% on other days is fine. So it's just all about treating people right and understanding and creating like an environment that they are happy to work in.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are getting towards the end. You know, remember that, guys, that I said that I've known able to be a community person. So this question, I don't know whether it's a trivial question, but how has building a community helped you? Do you think, okay, first let me start by, do you think it has helped you in your journey of co-founding? And maybe if you can pinpoint, like, how has it also helped you?
I'd say for me, the community has been everything. I think the community has been what has shaped my career from where it started off to where it is now. I mean, I've been pretty much very active in like a lot of different communities. And I met all of my co-founders, like all of the co-founders at Vijaya. We met at the community too. And a lot of relationships I've built from being a part of the community has shaped my career in ways in which I can't even like probably emphasize how much it has helped me. So I'd say one important thing is, well, probably because I took a lot of leadership community roles, but I'd say one important thing is networking. And that's like one big takeaway from getting involved in communities. You get to work with a lot of people, a lot of brilliant minds who have diverse skill sets. So you might be like an expert in one domain, but you can't know it all. So you get to like have like a space where you could network with other people who have diverse skill sets, who have more experience. You get to interact with them, you get to learn from them, you get to make new friends. They get to share opportunities with you, you get to share opportunities with them. So I think one major thing about community is just it gives you a space to build the right network for yourself. I just have to be able to identify and make use of that opportunity and just get the most out of that community. I mean, it's one thing to be a part of a community and not participate at all. It's one thing to attend community events and not try to network with new people or make new friends. It's another thing to try to make the most out of all the communities you belong to, make friends, interact with people, engage in conversations, volunteer for events and stuff like that. So I was like an all-round community person. I was always volunteering, I was always networking, I was always trying to make new friends, I was always trying to communicate. So it just helped shape my network. It helped build my experience as well. I mean, I have like a CV dedicated to all of the community works that I've done, like a community CV. And you know, for you to be able to like build a portfolio around something, you should know you've done it quite a lot of times and you actually made a reasonable amount of impact for you to have built a portfolio around something. So I think the community is one of the things that actually not just helped me co-found the company, but has also shaped other aspects and phases of my career and my life generally.
That's immense. I think I'll just keep searching for words to use to describe that. Thank you very much, Ebon. Honestly, it's been a great conversation. I think that looking at you from afar has also helped me to be active in communities, because myself, I wasn't actually. I see that I'm not so much active. I'm trying to be. So I've gotten to listen to some of your talks sometime, and you mentioned the impact of community in your career. It's been insightful and enlightening for me. So thank you very much, Debo, for being here. It's been a great conversation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure as well. Thank you.
You are welcome. So guys, there you have it. I don't know what else to say. Rather than saying, we'll see you in the next podcast, guys. Cheers.